broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
It's a pop culture roundtable talking about the biggest moments in the biz, from Netflix to reality TV's hits and misses. The Real Housewives of New York City season preview drops, and we're talking about women from Paris, Jennifer Lawrence, Bethany, and a lot more right now. Let the ranting begin. It is that time to have a State of the Union pop culture address. We're going to be looking at everything. We have a round table of women to break it down, and I can't wait to discuss everything from a lot of TV stuff, what's happening in the news, American Idol's coming on, some things I'm more interested in than others, that and more. Get ready, because it's going to be good. From the Reality Rundown podcast, we're joined by Amanda.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me again.
I can't wait to discuss certain things with you. So have a good time.
Can't wait.
Yes. And an old favorite from the show, Fern Romaine.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for coming in and doing the show.
Of course, I'm excited.
I'd love to have you on the panels. And
Thank you.
One of the OGs.
Happy to be here.
And speaking of OG, you know, Blake V is here. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I love you with all my heart, Grant. Happy to be here.
It's tough. Since I've had to leave AfterBuzz, I haven't been able to run into people like I used to, but I'm trying to do everything I can to keep people in the loop and see people and, you know, come up with excuses to have drinks. You know what I mean?
Which you know I like.
Yeah, exactly. This is not sponsored by anything. We are drinking rosé while we're having this podcast. And so let's get into it. Let's talk about a few things. I want to get what's going on in your circle. What's catching your attention? We'll kind of do a little free-for-all. Amanda, what's going on? What do you imagine?
Okay, so
what's affecting your life?
Well, I mean, you know, I've been kind of following the story of Chloe's baby shower. So that's kind of what I've been, you know, I've been keeping up with, if you will.
Yes.
So that happened yesterday when it was pouring rain. And obviously everyone was there, from Brielle and Kim Zolciak-Bierman, whose lips are bigger than the state of Massachusetts. I mean, for real, though. And everyone's just lips are just getting bigger. And so I've just been kind of, you know, following that story. I think it's really fun. I mean, they're just so extra, though. We were talking about people that can't remember, like, where they came from. And I don't think the Kardashians really remember maybe their roots also, because the flowers, everything's just so extra and ridiculous. And I'm just like, I'm here for it. All the shades of pink, I'm here for it. But listen, like, I don't know. It's just like so annoying also at the same time.
Well put. The stories were something to see. I was like, I can't believe what I'm looking at.
It's just like all the flowers and the walls and the installations. And it's
Is it worth going back and looking at some of the stuff I purposefully missed it?
So extra
right.
pink.
I mean, it's a spectacle for sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's entertaining. It's certainly is something to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who else lives this way?
I feel like they have to each of their showers has to be outdone.
Oh.
Yeah.
So this is the ultimate.
It didn't seem like Kylie's was that avant-garde, because I mean, obviously we saw the 11 minute video or whatever that was on YouTube, but like this one is like out of control. I mean, like these walls, it's just like the giraffes. I mean, I can't keep up.
So they did the floral walls.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are always nice to take pictures in front of.
Of course, it's an Instagram moment.
Yeah, it's trying to be positive about this.
Oh, and can I, sorry, just to interject real quick, it was also sponsored by Amazon. Her baby shower was sponsored by Amazon.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Amazon Baby Registry. It was a hashtag ad.
In what way is that even necessary?
God, is that what they're doing now?
Yeah.
That's like your favorite person. Oh, no, she's not your favorite. She's one of your favorite people whose wedding was sponsored from The View. Remember? What's her name?
Oh, yes. Star Jones' wedding was bought and sold by like Procter & Gamble and all these people.
Oh,
yeah.
How romantic.
So strange. Strangest thing.
What's it? I don't know. I'm trying to avoid the news at all costs. So I'm like, or I already watch too much TV and take in too much content, but I'm doing it more than ever because I have to avoid the news. Mm-hmm. So I listen to all my true crime podcasts, watch all my true crime ID, Dateline, of course, love. But I'm also like making sure I like watch all movies that I haven't watched yet. So we watched The Disaster Artist last night. Okay, so I'm going through like my list of like things that I have to like catch up on.
This weekend I watched Get Out for the first time because that's on my list. Yeah. And I'm not much of a movie guy, but it was very good.
Was it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was very good.
I feel like I'm afraid to see because I don't like horror.
It's okay. It's not that scary.
It's
okay. Yes.
It's more psychological.
Yes.
Way more psychological.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not ghosty or anything like that. Yeah. So
I don't like creepy.
Well, it's creepy. It's creepy. Yeah.
My husband already told me the whole movie. Yeah. And I was like, that's genius. But
It's worth a watch. Just watch it with the lights on. You'll be all right.
Yeah. Well, and then Jordan Peele had his like very historic win at the Oscars.
Yeah.
So that was good.
I loved it.
Yeah. That was a big deal in my life because I work in media and it's specifically film related, my day job. So that was like huge. And very cool because I produce a show where he was a guest on the show for Get Out when it came out earlier this year. Aww. So it was like a lovely full circle situation.
Nice. I love it.
So let's take a look at what's coming out on Netflix. I feel like there's been a lot of news coming out of there. I should almost have like a segment given that the show is called Hollywood Talk about
Netflix news.
Yeah, like what's happening because they're doing so much. And this is like two different ends of the spectrum, this news that has come out of there. But the New York Times reports that the Obamas are in advanced negotiations with Netflix to produce a series of high-profile shows. And this is exclusive content that would only be on Netflix. It makes sense. I'm surprised it took so long for this to happen now. You know, what do you think? What do you think the show would be like if the Obamas are producing a show for Netflix?
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. I like all of this Netflix news, by the way. Let me just say that's coming out, like all the stories. I'm a fan of all of them, and I'll tell you why momentarily. Okay. But everybody loves the Obamas.
Yeah.
They are just like this nation's crowd pleaser, you know? Like, really, they are like, they transcend beyond whatever like post-presidency looks like. So the fact that they would take part in something like this is, number one, historic. Number two is, like, would be so entertaining. Like, I don't know who wouldn't want to see that. And every person in this country who misses them terribly and, like, misses, you know, for presidential purposes or otherwise, would love to, like, get this scoop on what it is. And, like, you know Obama. He's going to do it so good and interesting and use it on such, like, a fabulous foreign platform. I'm sure there's going to be, like, international aspects and just, like, cool stuff that he relates back in a down-to-earth, like, U.S. sort of way. I totally love it.
If you saw my news feed, you would know that not everyone loves the Obamas. I wish they did, but you should see my Facebook feed, but you know, because I'm friends with friends of family from home, and I'm like, my news feed could be studied. But I loved reading that they're going to, the power of storytelling, that they're going to tell stories that, you know, about immigration or healthcare or how these policies are affecting real people, and it'll be compelling. It'll be so well done because I think they're so classy and so smart. But I think the only people who'll be watching it is us, the people who already are moved by those stories. I love Netflix, but I wish it were on a platform. I wish it were on ABC, where maybe some of those Fox News viewers would be flipping through the channel and then see it, and maybe have their eyes, minds open.
Yeah, that's true.
But are they, I mean, obviously we've read the articles, but is it going to be Michelle Obama and Barack? Are they going to be the talking heads also? Or is it going to be content that's produced by them that might have different faces? Because if that's the case, maybe you would gain that audience that you might not otherwise.
Well, Amanda, I feel the same way. I think that it's, I think they're going to be attached to it in namesake. They might make some appearances. I don't anticipate it being like a reality show about them.
Right.
Like, I really, I see their name being attached to it, but I don't know how much involvement on camera they're going to have. I don't know. I think it makes for a great publicity machine, but I don't know. I think it's going to be more about people and stories and going to these towns and cities and a lot less about them.
I think I see both.
Yeah.
I think I see it like a 50-50 sort of scenario. Mm-hmm. I mean, I certainly don't see it as a reality situation about them exclusively as well. But I think it's going to be like their curated way of like displaying whatever this information is to wherever they go, whatever they do. I think it is going to be like, you know, a lot of voiceover and a lot of interview, like check-in style. And yeah, we're going to see other people, but I feel like I don't see any negative from them being involved in that way. So I think they would.
Yeah. I mean, it's very smart for Netflix. Mm-hmm. I wish that a network would have picked it up. But, you know, it's like, these people are smart. These Netflix and Amazons, they're on it. And, yeah, it's everybody else's loss for sure.
Can I just say real quick that I had the opportunity, well, I mean, I guess everyone's had the opportunity, but to buy Netflix shares when it was so low. Oh my God. I'm just like dying right now. But
I know.
Do we think Malia, she's the one that was, she interned, right? Do you think she's going to be a part of it? Like, is this maybe her moment to kind of shine and to be like an AP or something and then work her way up? Like, does she get an opportunity? Because I would love to see that. And you know what? I like it because she's working from the ground up. And that doesn't happen in Hollywood. Everyone's brothers, sisters, mothers, cousins, brothers, aunts, mistress goes straight up to the top. And that's not how things should work. So I really admire that she's starting from the ground up. And I really want her to go far. I'm really looking forward to her career.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good opportunity for the whole family. And we need something like that. We need a positive message right now.
Please.
On the other end of the spectrum, I don't know how to transition. Jemay, Private School Girl.
Yes, clapping, for real.
Show? Yes. Have you ever seen the show?
I have no idea.
Please, do yourself a favor.
I read the other article and I was like, what is this about? What am I reading?
It's probably exactly what you think.
The funniest show ever. I'm not joking. Put that in your list at the very top.
I'm adding it.
It's so funny.
It's on HBO Go. It's on HBO.
Is it Jemay?
Yeah. Chris Lilley, Australian actor who plays different personas of people, came out with a documentary years ago called Summer Heights High or whatever. So this is all like over 10 years ago. Then he had a spinoff series where they had his characters that he had from this documentary have their individual series. It all ended poorly when he did a character in Brownface and the Australian broadcasting company said, I don't know more. So he's been out of commission for a while. I wonder what happened to him. I didn't know that's what
happened.
He's
an envelope pusher.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so.
Very, like, his humor is what I love. It's completely politically incorrect in every way.
He plays a girl, a young school girl who's super, like, bitchy and, but the thing
makes
is...
Makes fun of the disabled, Asians, everybody.
But it, like, the terms and the quotes, like, can live today. It's so funny and it, like, transcends time. And so...
And he's, like, clearly a guy dressed as a girl.
Yes.
Oh,
absolutely.
My God, I love it.
Hilarious.
Hilarious. Well, what sucked me in for him was actually not even Jemay. but it was Angry Boys. Did anyone see Angry Boys?
No.
I argue even better.
Okay.
Even better than Summer High Tide. So same thing. He plays all these characters, most of them boys, angry boys, and it's hilarious. Hilarious. Mm-hmm. HBO had it on probably seven or eight years ago.
Yeah, it's on there. I've seen clips,
yes. And I had like a free subscription from my cable company. And I watched it and I was like, this is the best thing. This is the best. And I love this guy. And then, he's kind of like faded out over the past couple years and we've been wondering where he is. And so I, for one, am excited.
Yeah. I mean, the humor is selective. I mean, it's like an envelope pusher. Yes. But it's kind of funny to see what people get away with because it's all done in humor. People can take it so seriously.
Everyone is offended by everything.
And this day and age, like, no wonder. I was not surprised that something stopped him from continuing because he puts himself out there where he could easily be knocked down. So I hope this new 10-part series on Netflix is good. I hope.
Yes. And, so the Australian BBC conflict that happened was him in brownface portraying... Australian Aborigines. That's their sensitive spot. And in Angry Boys, he really did do blackface, portraying this like young rapper kid like here in Beverly Hills, his rap career. So I mean, he's not shy. He's for sure the envelope pusher for like all ends of the spectrum.
I'm surprised he even got something because
for real,
everyone's. But maybe he's an equal opportunity offender, so maybe that helps.
I mean, he really does. He does equally opportunity offend. But I mean, I think enough time has passed. What do you think?
But also, like, with the Netflix and the Hulus and all the subscription base, I really love that this is coming into play, because our standard networks, like the ABCs and the CBSs, listen, they're going to die in 5 years. Yeah. I mean, we're all calling it, because they're not pushing anything. Everything's the same stuff. All the shows keep coming back. You know, we're going to talk about it soon. How many seasons of The Voice can you have? Like, obviously, I'm not a fan of any of this kind of stuff. It's so boring and so repetitive. And so I love it that they're giving these new people an opportunity. I shouldn't say Chris is new by any means, but they're giving a new platform to push new content. Yeah. And that's what it's all about, is new content. Mm-hmm. How many more Transformer movies do we need? None.
Agreed.
Well, I'm ready for Jermaine. You know, the last time she was on this, it was about 10 years ago. So they keep her, like, relevant with the times. But still, if you watch Jermaine Private School Girl, she's very plugged in to social media. So I wonder what they'll do more if they bring her back. And they would be so stupid not to bring her back. They're great commentary on just what's happening, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm, you know, from the Obamas to Jermaine, Netflix is one to watch.
Yes. Now go and buy their stock.
You know, you mentioned repetitive, Amanda, boring, unoriginal, American Idol. Now, I have 0.00 interest in this show returning. Even the ads, like I mentioned this before, they've got the bus going down the windy American street, American Idol on America's Network. Like,
I just fell asleep for a second.
Are we still taping?
We've seen it. That's another thing. ABC, I don't know how much money they put into marketing and advertising, but their commercials are everywhere, and it's like, come join the journey. First of all, we've seen the journey. We all tuned out of the journey a long time ago. So I don't know. Obviously, none of us here are planning to run to our televisions. It airs at the time of this taping of this podcast tonight. So we don't know the ratings. But let's predict how this will perform. I'm not watching.
No.
Could care less. But I didn't even know it was coming back. But, and I was like, oh, yeah, I think I kind of heard Katy Perry was a judge. I could care less.
But Grant, let's be honest. We're technically the demo, the 18 to 50 or whatever it is. But we're also coast liberals. And you have to remember that the majority of when you talk about audience demos, especially for ABC, are between
us.
45 to 50-year-old women, by the way, from the Midwest.
Okay,
so these are the people that are going to be watching it. And I predict that this is kind of always how it happens. On any show, your premiere episode is always going to be huge, huge, huge numbers. Then it trails off. And then your finale comes back, and then it's kind of the same sort of number. So I don't know if it's like Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, Luke Bryan. Like, they're obviously pretty wide on the spectrum of bringing, you know, audience and fans in. But, I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just going to be huge numbers, and then it's going to be a success. And, it's propaganda. It's all this.
Yeah, they play things with demographics. That's what they'll do. It's like the number one show on Sunday night for 18 to 32 women
Indiana.
Two states.
Yeah.
Like, very good.
The only reason I ever watched American Idol, I feel like since season one, was the audition portion at the beginning.
Yes.
That is the claim to its
Which
fame.
Which I guess they're not doing anymore.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm,
Blake's face is so turned off right now.
Who would waste their time then? So if we have no auditions, then I don't really know what else to say other than the fact that perhaps the judges, if you get a good judge in there, that's kind of a pull because you like that person, you want to see what they're doing or whatever. I, for one, am not a fan of Katy Perry.
Agreed.
I do not care for her, like, at all. Like, as a person, her music, like, none of the above appeal to me about her whatsoever. So the fact that she's even, like, attached to it just makes me be like, even more.
I've said this before, and perhaps it was on the show or on Twitter, but the fact that they've cast her shows that the people who are making these decisions are just out of touch with demographics and what people want to see, severely so. When they paid her, they made a $25 million mistake. I mean,
just saying. And all these people that just make so much freaking money, and like Seacrest is like boringly everywhere. Like, he's everywhere. It's like, give someone else a chance.
Seacrest is
spice it up. Let's get a new host in there. Keep it going, let's revive it.
Yeah.
Let's zhuzh it with some new.
I agree. Give it a new identity. If it's supposed to be this new positive step forward, there's not a trail or a hint of negative criticism in any of the advertisements. So, you know,
let's get a female host.
Preach. Thank you.
You've been in that seat for 15 freaking years. Well, let's get some female perspective, right?
In this climate that we're in, and the allegations against Ryan Seacrest, he's making north of $10 million to host this show. How do we feel about this? Now, granted, this deal is probably signed before allegations. I don't know. I mean, there's been had allegations that were refuted. Now there's other ones. Is that correct?
I just heard about the one.
Yeah,
I
just heard about
just
the one.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, still. No, you're right. It was probably signed on the dotted line, and then it came out, and the executives were probably like, please let it not be true. Let's make it not true.
Yeah.
And it's a weird landscape of this whole allegation life that we're living now, because you have some people that are treated very harshly and rigidly and are immediately like fired or let go or forced to resign or whatever, and it's like a spectacle.
Life destroyed.
And then you have other people that just like hang on as if nothing happened.
Ryan.
Exactly. So, you know, it's weird. It's unfortunate when you have these like major Hollywood players that get to just slide by the rules because they're tied into these big dollar deals, making so much money, like all this stuff. You know, it really would be nice to see that if this allegation, you know, came out the way that it did, that he was, number one, held accountable for this, and number two, like, put someone else in there. Get just new flavor, new blood.
In general, from a production standpoint, just get somebody fresh. I mean,
Well, I've also heard, because I know, you know, quite a few people that work on the show, and I heard they're not really switching that much up besides not doing the, you know, the auditions, but they are doing auditions, because I know tons of people that are, you know, have been going on since September on the road crew. So I know that they're doing something, but again, it's the same thing where you're doing all these packages that are beautifully produced, but they look all the same. They look the same from before, Dancing with the Stars, America's Got Talent, The Voice. They're all the same. Then you get into their stage shows. I mean, it's all the same show. And they are putting a ton of money into it because, you know, my boyfriend works on Dancing with the Stars, one of his shows. And they used to have two seasons per year. Now they have one because American Idol is taking over that other season space. Wow. So just FYI, they're putting a lot of money, a lot of time. This is like their golden egg in their mind, I think. Because Dancing, even that they've been on for quote unquote 25 seasons when you obviously have two seasons per year. So that doesn't make sense. But they're putting all their eggs in this basket, and Dancing's huge, and so they want Idol to be just as big.
Haven't they learned from, like, This Is Us and all of the great shows on Netflix and cable? People want to be – people are hungry for stories.
Yeah.
And this is just another one of those – I used to – when I did watch it very early on, I would – love to hear their story, like their stories, their background, what their family's like, and then I would mute it when they sang because I could care less.
It gets the nerves of like, ooh, in case they're bad.
Embarrassed for them. Like, I just didn't, and then I would come put it back on, like, when the judges would talk. Like, I just didn't care.
Yeah.
But now if they're, like, I want to be told stories. It's just, like, not, I don't want to see a cabaret day. I don't want to see that's not entertainment to me.
Fox, who once carried American Idol, is having counter-programming. They're playing an interview, never before seen, from 2006 of O.J. Simpson, If I Did It.
Oh, my God.
This is what they're pulling out this Sunday night, or this last Sunday night. How do you feel about this being kind of programming?
Like grasping at straws.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch it because of my moral compass, but I'm reading everything about it because I'm obsessed with true crime. I'm obsessed with, I love when someone, I like them when they're rich. I like them when they're famous. Those are the best ones. It's like so up Vanity Fair's alley. I feel like the writer Dominic Dunn is like in the room with me. I'm like, let's talk about it. But I don't want to watch it because it's like morally reprehensible. I was so happy when they scratched it years ago. I was like, this is disgusting. I'm like 100% on Fred Goldman and Kim Goldman's side. Like, this is not, this is disgusting. So I'm not watching it, but I'm going to read everything about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I got to be honest.
Yeah. It's an interesting selection. I don't know. I mean, both of them sound like lousy choices to me. I don't care.
Right, those are the choices. Isn't there better TV on Sundays on HBO? Like, what's on HBO?
Real Housewives of Atlanta for one. On Bravo.
Yeah. There's other choices.
Yeah, there are. Thank God. Yeah. Speaking of Housewives, Real Housewives of New York, the trailer for season 10 is out, and all the women are back. Carol has blonde hair, and she's running a race, and she's single. okay, sure.
All right.
This is most she's been in a couple seasons.
Okay, so that's her update.
Tinsley's still a mess, it looks like. she's still going after that homely boy for he must have money. I would only
coupon king.
Yeah, that's it. You just have to have a big bank account when you look like that. I'm
or
sorry.
Or something else that's
I'm
bigger.
Sorry.
You never know.
Yeah, well, yeah. And what else? She's feuding with Sonya, another wacko. Oh, Sonya, my favorite Bravo wacko.
Yeah.
I love her. Can I be completely honest? I wish I was on the level of Sonya, just where I didn't have to worry about life so much. I had unlimited money. I had a child connected to a wealthy family, so
right.
I was always in the loop of money and cash flow. I had a house, even though it's not really
decrepit.
But it still has a good
brown eyes. It's a shell of a home.
But you don't sell that. Sell that
she
house and move
it.
And just get a nice... You might have to downsize, but at least you can get something you can pay in cash.
You're nice and done. Be proper.
Yeah.
Brown eyes.
Yes, brown eyes.
I wish I was just clueless enough to get through life like her.
Yeah.
And still live up... And she's able to maintain a life in New York high society somehow. What the hell did I do wrong?
Gotta marry a Morgan.
Yeah.
And then the other one, Bethany's in Puerto Rico. She really did do a lot of good work. I'm not clowning her. She did. Even though I'm not a huge fan, but she did good work. And of course, we're going to have to sit through, which I'm very excited about, Luann and her Christmas time in jail. But I love that, Luann, I love that she's out there performing at this cabaret. Joking about it publicly, like, does not give a damn.
Can we just have a flashback? Because this happened in my brain. Can we just have a flashback back to the music video for her single? When it was like so classy and back when she was like telling everyone about etiquette.
Right.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sitting in the back of the limo.
The countess has fallen. I love.
She missed the chapter on how to treat a police officer.
Yeah. It's all just very fascinating to me. And I feel like now she is a real person. She is a real person. You know, years ago when we met her and she was doing everything she was doing, it was like she was so unrelatable. Mm-hmm. It was like, come on, Luann. Let's get on the level here. And like now she's on the level.
Yeah.
She sure is.
She is. I love that she's like making fun of it. She hasn't even gotten her senses yet. And she's just like,
three months later.
Yeah, whatever. Of course, we can't go through the rest of this without acknowledging Ramona. Ramona is very upset at the end of this preview or this look at season 10. She's screaming into her cell phone at somebody, "You don't support other women!" And she's all flustered. Classic Ramona, thrown off by the whole scenario. What is her storyline going to be like? The usual?
I hate the way she talks. I hate the way she gets... I hate her mannerisms, the way she talks, the things she says to people.
She's mean. She's a mean person.
Nasty. When she said, "I wouldn't date him, he's a bartender." You know
why?
I feel like, all right, maybe you have these, like, all of these degrees we don't know about, Ramona, but don't say that. Like, just... Don't say that. Don't think it, but especially don't say it. Like, she's just such an ass.
Yeah.
She just seems like such a strange friend. Like, imagine if she was your friend. I feel like she treats her friends like not good.
Yeah. She's an opportunist when it comes to friendships. Yeah, the whole thing with she chooses the bedrooms and screw the person who hosts the trip and all this. I mean, that's a big thing, though. It's so important to see now in Housewives who's hosting these events. Like, production paid for all this. You know, a line producer came up with all this. There's now a woman in charge of booking all of these trips.
Yes, we've been trying to get her on our podcast, too. I'm like, who is she? I need to know her information because I'm sure she has so many details.
Yeah, so no one's really booking these trips. Like, but I want to know if that woman was responsible for booking that horrendous trip on Atlanta Housewives. They stayed in some, like, weird house.
Yeah, in Barcelona. Well, or if she was also responsible for booking the upcoming...
Oh, the cruise.
The cruise from Hell.
You see Jennifer Lawrence on Watch What Happens Live, and she's talking about what she's looking forward to, and she mentions the cruise ship going down, whatever. And, of course, Andy Cohen, not subtle at all, eyes bugging, feet moving, like, no subtlety at all. Can you relax, dude? Like, they're not suing you.
Right.
Yeah, are you like super high also?
Yeah.
So like calm down, dude.
Come relax. Relax. Like to me, like especially if a phone call goes a little too long, he's like all antsy and fidgety. Mm-hmm. The eyes get wise. Okay. I'm like, whoa, you can't lose your cool when you're hosting a show. I know it's a live show, but you know, you've got to have some chill factor mm-hmm. about you if you're going to have guests calling. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's besides the point. Brandy Glanville.
You tell him, Grant. You tell him how to do it.
Brandy Glanville, she was on What's Trevin's Life, too. Yeah. Somewhat, talk about, you know, Jill needs to hold that apple, and goddamn it, just friggin' Brandy needs to be back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's to the point where it's necessary. That show has not recovered since she left, in my opinion. I know people love Erika Jayne. I do too. But is Erika Jayne enough? I don't know. Teddy, you know, Brandy said it best on Watch What Happens Live. I don't want to see accountable people on Real Housewives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if Dorit's holding up. Like, I personally can't stand Dorit, and she's kind of the only person that's bringing the drama mm-hmm. back. And so, I mean, I get it why she's there, but I also think she's a monster, but that's beside the point, I guess, yeah. right?
Well, what do we want to say? Brandy, Marriage Boot Camp on WeTV. One of the most boring shows. I can never get through it. I always watch the first episode of all of them because there's always somewhat I'm interested in seeing. Like, I love Renee Graziano from the Mob Wives. She's wonderful TV. But I'm so distracted because her sisters are on this show, and her sister Jen produced Mob Wives and Mob Wives Chicago, so she's an active television producer, so she knows the name of the game. So I'm wondering if she's somehow attached to this, because why would she, who's like a former executive producer of reality shows, know how they work, now elect to go in and stay in a house and sleep in a bed and talk about their family when they're, you know, clearly a mob family. You don't talk about that stuff. So it's very odd to me. I do love Renee, but Brandy's in there. She's like such a fish out of water. There's that trashy Amber Portwood. Did you watch the show?
No, but I we have talked about this before on my podcast, where like I just, you know, like the Kardashians always are pretty quick with their edit schedule, but this one's weird because Amber Portwood's not even with Matt anymore.
Right.
Like, and she's pregnant with another dude. The guy, like one of the lighting guys from Marriage.
One of the producers. Like,
So you have to like, maybe you need to like get your edit schedule a little closer to reality.
Because
I don't even want to see it. Not that I probably would, but like, bye.
I know. I don't get these shows. Like, why?
And
wait.
And WeTV is like, who are you, WeTV?
I know.
And specifically with the Amber Portwood, I mean, for whatever draw she brings. MTV already usurped all that because they announced her new dude and all of this stuff. So it's like
they
already
took the wind right out
MTV
of it.
Took all the ratings from whatever we would have had because of their delayed editing schedule. So
WeTV is the discount warehouse of reality television. I hate to say it, but they pluck the rejects of the I hate to say it, but it's true. They take the people who are out of contract, they were thrown off their former shows, or they put on someone like Jim Jones who hasn't done anything since Ballin' in 2007, and they put them on there. And there's always someone on there that, like, no one's heard of or thought of or cared about. I watched one. I can't promise I'll go back, but I watched it for this show. It was all right, but it was the usual tropes. There's that Dr. V from Real Housewives of New Jersey trying to put on those glasses and be all professional, and it's just, No.
Yeah. It's a hard pass. Mm-hmm. Even like on E, you know, they're bringing back people. I probably shouldn't even say anything, but like the new shows that they're coming with, you're just like, didn't that happen like 15 years ago? Like,
and they did, probably.
Yeah, like I don't want to see the same format over and over and over again. They have to like update. They have to refresh and they have to like figure something out. And then, you know, there comes TV shows that I've been developing that I can't seem to catch a break on, but that's another story.
Aww.
That's for another time. But, you know, it is.
God forbid,
it's
a new idea.
Yeah, it's really rough.
Yeah.
Well, when we come back, we have some new topics we're going to be discussing that I've been floating around, including some throwback topics to the month of March. What are some things that in the past have perhaps influenced today, or just odd things that caught my attention? We're going to be back with this full panel of ladies and myself in just a moment. Now this.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Amanda Zant, Fern Renee, and Blake V. And we have a great panel that we've been having a good time talking about a lot of stuff. And now we have this random crystal vase on the table.
It's beautiful.
It's part of a set.
Oh, I like it.
And inside are some blue pieces of paper with some headlines and statements of things that are going on both in the past and current, of things that are happening out there that we can react to. Again, this is our pop culture roundtable, so, you know, I pulled out all the stuff, and some things warrant more time than others. So, you know, here's some real quick ones that we can kind of buzz through and see. Amanda, do you want to go first?
Sure, okay. All right, so just read it aloud, huh?
Sure.
Jennifer Lawrence calls Lala Kent a C-word.
Oh, yes. Did anyone see this on Watch What Happens Live?
I watched her on Watch What Happens Live.
Well, here's what happened. Jennifer Lawrence said that Lala came back to the season being all fake, and she says, oh, please, she's a C-word. So, the C-word. Is that the terminology? The C-word? So, of course, Andy left and said to Jennifer, oh, she's so good, meaning, Jennifer, you're so good. How do we feel about this moment? And, of course, now there's been a big kickback from Lala. She wrote a tweet, and I have it here in black and white. She said, this is from the Huffington Post, all sources here. She said, did Jennifer Lawrence really call me a C-word on Bravo Watch Happens Live and talk about my mama? Bitch, you better pray I don't see you in the streets. And then she says, you're one of the highest paid actresses on the planet. You claim you are pro-women and you call another woman a C-word. You're gross. Later, she cracked, congratulations on two bombed movies in a row. I like Lala. I'm enjoying her on Vanderpump Rules.
Loving her. Yeah. We're living for Lala.
Yeah. So Jennifer Lawrence, is it wise when you're making statements about men and the Me Too movement to be calling other women the C word? Not really.
No. But at the same time, it's very Jennifer Lawrence, I feel like.
Yeah. She's kind of a anything goes, I guess. And and on, you know, maybe that in that environment on Watch What Happens, there's drinks flowing. It's maybe more, she feels a little more comfortable. And but the thing is, she's a fan of all the Housewives shows. So, like, she knows at least what's going on. At least she knows who Lala is, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But no, she shouldn't call her the C-word. I'm sorry.
It must not have been that impactful because I watched the episode and I don't remember this at all. So, I don't know. It didn't make that big of an impact. But, I feel like Lala knows the game. Like, I feel like they're all... It's not really reality. Like, she knows what she's doing.
Right.
She knows... So, like, you can't get that mad. Be happy that Jennifer Lawrence knows who you are and watches your show.
And the thing, too, is, like, where do you draw the line? Because it's like, okay, yes, of course, you know, we're living in Me Too times. And, of course, you know, as a feminist, you want to support your fellow ladies, like, 100%. Yes, if any man was doing something terrible, like, yes, you would want to support your ladies. When it comes to Watch What Happens Live and you're straight up just saying your opinions on other people, I don't think it's quite the same level of judgment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we've all hated on some women here this podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
And we're women. Yeah. Like, we don't wish them any harm. It's
true.
Good
point.
This is our opinion for discussion purposes. Like, I don't think Jennifer really, like, you know, wishes any harm on Lala or probably would never say it to her face. It just is in the scope of Vanderpump Rules.
Right.
It's in the scope of Watch What Happens Live. It's in this little microcosm of just life where somehow Jennifer Lawrence is now relevant in a way to Lala and vice versa.
Yeah.
Lala's a character as well. Like, remember, like, sure, this is reality TV. She's a human, but she's a character. And she's supposedly Tupac, remember? So, you know,
she's
calling Tupac the C word.
Tupac is in her body. So anything is possible. Anything. Fern, do you want to select from the crystal vase?
Oh, yes. Okay. Let's see here.
So over the top.
Too much.
Throwback.
Too much.
I love a throwback. Richard Simmons seems to be perfectly fine, according to LAPD dispatch to check on his home. I listened to that podcast.
Yes. It was a year ago. It was March of 2017. This is something that was relevant exactly a year ago. I loved that podcast.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
Up until the finale. The finale was lousy. I think the producers know that because they had a bunch of legal things allegedly that they were up against, and they had to retool the finale around what they were requested to not put out there. Yeah, apparently, allegedly. But I love this Making Oprah. Great podcast. I recommend
that
them.
Podcast.
Yes.
I wish there were more. There were only a few.
Very Making few. Yeah. But now they're going to be doing a podcast. The same folks who did Making Oprah are doing Making Obama.
Oh.
So there's stuff to look out for on the podcast landscape. Great show all around. And what's interesting about that topic that stood out to me is it's been a year and still Richard Simmons... Nowhere.
Well, supposedly he's been Facebook message, or he's been on Facebook, right? But like, that could be anyone. Right. That could be anyone tweeting. Yeah. It could be anyone writing a Facebook post.
It could
so
be
like,
the maid that's holding him
hostage. Exactly.
Allegedly. So mysterious.
Yes. We need to know.
That man, I mean, he really must not be hard up for cash, because a year ago they had so many deals and they wanted him to do so much mm-hmm. stuff. I mean, he really missed out on a business opportunity mm-hmm. to be able to come out mm-hmm. and make appearances and write a book and do a TV show
True.
And do the gambit. So he really just must be happy on his own.
Or maybe he's incapacitated. It doesn't have to be him on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It could be...
Who knows?
It's so
Hollywood.
It's so fascinating. That story was just so fascinating mm-hmm. to me. Richard Simmons.
Can I call it now that Ryan Murphy, in his new Netflix deal, that's going to be a new American Horror Story? Something about this, right?
Oh, it's genius.
And it's a gay man. He's very
being held captive or something like that as a celebrity and... I can see it now. Ryan Murphy, if you're listening.
It would be like, Ryan Murphy presents mystery, Richard Simmons.
Yes.
That would be like a different mystery in pop culture. That could be a good idea. Mm-hmm. All right, Blake, what are you choosing from the crystal vase?
All right, let's see. Another throwback topic. Half Japanese, kind of modern Orthodox mom joins Real Housewives of New York.
Jules.
I forgot about her.
Yeah, so that's
a one-season wonder. No,
this is from March 11th, 2016.
Half Japanese, say no more. Yes. Isn't that what she would always refer to herself as?
She always introduced herself half Asian, half Jew.
I thought this was funny because we were talking about Real Housewives of New York trailer. 2 years ago, this was the big news on the street, and everyone was wondering how she was going to be... I mean, arguably a flop of a housewife.
It was an unfortunate circumstance. Yeah,
it was one of the ones where her afterlife after the show was more interesting than anything on the show, because I think she's getting divorced. She had like major issues with her husband, so show that.
Her whole life's changed. She's since sold that house that they were in, that he worked up downstairs and they lived upstairs or something like that. So yeah, her whole life has to have changed. But interesting move on Bravo's part. But yeah, a one-hit wonder, a classic Bravo one-hit wonder. Young mom really didn't find her way on the show.
I wonder how her vagina's doing, too. Yeah. She ripped it.
That's the thing I remember most.
Yeah.
The perfect pistachio.
I forgot that.
She missed her opportunity with pistachio. Doing an ad.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to select one now. What is this? Current topic, Real Housewives of New Jersey heads into production on season 9. There's been an article over on Reality T, and they said, basically, where do we go from here? Like, what's next? Now that Siggy's off, what's going to be happening? There's a bunch of rumors of new latest housewives that are joining, one called Jacqueline, but not Jacqueline Larita.
I hope not.
I don't know. Where do we go with Real Housewives of New Jersey?
I don't know. It's almost like it needs an entire new recasting.
Isn't that what they were kind of saying too? Like, just get rid of everyone. Weren't they threatening? I don't know. I heard some gossip and it's like kind of just reformat.
Said it on the show when we had Casey on. That show needs a complete new production company. Mm-hmm. They need a new take on the city, so that way all those personal connections, because the producers live in town with these women, they're friends with them. They need someone completely unconnected. That way they're not fighting for airtime for these women. And I think that give it one more shot, and then, again, shows run their course. Reality shows, they run their course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, let it go. If you give it one more shot for season 9, and then let it go.
Yeah. So, it's time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else is in here that we can discuss?
My turn, right?
Yes. Okay.
Arrested Development Season 5 coming soon.
Do you watch Arrested Development?
I do.
Yeah.
No, but I feel like this is one of the things that is on my list. I have to binge watch it. Because I've heard it's genius.
It's funny.
It's a good show. But there's a lot of controversy now because Jeffrey Tambor is attached to it. He has those allegations. Mm. They canceled. What was the show?
Transparent. Which was like a stab in the heart. Loved that show.
They're still going to go on, though.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, the show's still going to go on, I thought.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, he's fired off the show, but I'm almost positive I was reading that it's coming back. I don't know.
Oh, it's so complex.
Yeah, well, Arrested Development, there's been a lot of stuff isn't moving forward with this attachment, but the cast has stood behind him, and it looks like it is because Ron Howard celebrated his, like, 64th birthday or whatever in the voiceover booth, doing the voiceover. He voices over the show and kind of narrates about what's happening throughout the series. So they had a script in front of him. I've been waiting for this show to come back forever. Season 4 couldn't have been a bigger disappointment on Netflix. Yeah, right. So season 5, let's hope that it's good. And if it isn't, then let the show go too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it'll be interesting. I've been waiting for this show. David Cross, who also on the show faced allegations, is saying that he predicts it'll be out by the spring. Okay. Are we in the spring?
Isn't yeah, that technically.
Isn't that in 2 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, we just changed the clock. So, Fern, what's next? What's happening in this?
Let's see. Real Housewives of Orange County, Shannon and Kelly are BFFs.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. The two of them
from
laughing.
Shoving a plate in.
Yes.
Who would have thought?
The two of them were all laughter in front of Craig's, like, Austin night after the Oscars or whatever. They're all up each other's butt now, I guess, so.
Well, they're going through the same thing. Yeah. I mean, they're both getting divorced, and both of their ex-husbands are dating new women, and they've moved on. And so maybe it's nice to have someone that's kind of in cahoots with you and going through the same life.
Absolutely. And Grant and I have famously been on the Orange County panel. And,
For
many years at AfterBuzz TV. And I have a history of not liking Shannon.
Yes.
But really, I think a lot of that was, like, affair related and husband related. And the husband was just really putting a funk on her all over. And it was making her crazy and it was making her weird. And I've always been a fan of Vacation Shannon. We know this. And she would never resurface. Vacation Shannon was, like, lost in the abyss. And I was, like, always hoping for her. I think now, with the husband gone, she might be in full Vacation Shannon mode.
Yeah, she's going to get her groove back.
Which I'm thrilled about because, like, that's the Shannon that I liked and missed. Mm. So, you know.
That picture looked like Vacation Shannon. I don't know if you saw the photo.
Mm.
The photo of her, all giggles with Kelly outside of Craig's, looks like Vacation Shannon.
And she's been losing weight. She's back to her old self, hopefully, again. So, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, good. And we need everyone in her life and viewers and we all need a change.
Yes.
So they're down to 4 housewives on OC. It's Kelly, Shannon, Vicky, and Tamara. Mm. And a Bravo executive spoke on the Daily Dish podcast that there'll be new faces.
Good. And great.
Thank God.
Yeah, we need to.
No more Lydia. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Such
I'm
a disaster.
Proud. I'm proud of Real Housewives of Orange County for letting go of 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is what needs to happen on a lot of these shows. We've got people who just hang around too long.
Mm-hmm.
And let me put my bid out for Lisa Vanderpump to be done, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I'm just going to throw that out there because I've freaking had it with her. Who's next?
Next.
Blake, I think it was you.
All right. Lena Dunham heads to RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, look, tell us how you were named, Gail.
I can't stand this girl and everything she represents. I can't handle her. Of course she's going to RuPaul's Drag Race. I can't stand her. She's just so thirsty for attention. And I don't believe that people really like her. I don't know why. She must have a great agent. Mm. I just don't know what it is that keeps this girl, you know, matriculating in and out of these shows. She joins a slew of others who are going on. Courtney Love is going to be one of the guest judges.
Oh, God.
I'm about that.
She's a mess, though. I love her. But she, like, make sure you have a Coke bathroom because she needs one from past experience, by the way.
You know, perhaps one of the biggest names to guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race, Christina Aguilera. Okay.
Okay.
You know, she's sort of a drag queen anyway. So.
Yeah, that's true. Stephen Colbert. All right. You know. And, of course, Andy Cohen. Of course, Andy Cohen has to be a guest judge. So that's people to look forward to. So, basically, why she affects me so much is because she really just represents nepotism in Hollywood. And at work, I had to do an exercise where we picked out people that we were imagining as like heroes in the business, or to us. So I picked Tina Fey, definitely not Tori Spelling.
Once removed.
I'm going for rich people.
Nah.
Tina Fey, Aaron Spelling, and the other one, who did I choose?
Oprah,
yes. And of course, these are people that were self-made and they built out big empires for themselves. So to me, like, they were easy choices. Not nepotized like this one, Lena. Mm-hmm. And that's what drives me crazy more than anything is, you know, being a considered a voice of a generation because you got lucky, because your parents knew the right people. I mean, it drives me nuts. I don't really have too much respect for that. It's not that I don't respect her. She has her career. She does her own thing. But we're not going to be friends. Sorry, Lena.
Can I say also one more thing? So
yes.
I read an interview when she... when she first started producing and directing the show, she was like, you know, because she directed the show. Now, most people don't get that opportunity. And she's like, you know, I had to go and shake every hand of every single crew member on my team and ask them what they did. Now,
what?
Yes, she said that in an interview. And now, if you are directing or even executive producing a show, you should probably know what everyone does. And to go up to everyone and be like, hi, I'm an idiot. I don't know what you do, but yet I'm your director. I'm sorry. They're not going to have any respect for you whatsoever. And these are salty veterans that are New York. Their dads did it. They did it. Their sons are doing it. They're all union, crusty guys. They're not going to have a lick of respect for you. Maybe they did eventually.
She probably said it in a way of like, that's what I had to do, so I did it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's
embarrassing for her.
The depths I go to.
Yeah, like, look at me. I'm this director. I'm with the people. And it's like, you don't even know what you're talking about.
No. So she posted a photo recently on Instagram. It's in a sepia tone. She's holding her bare boobs. She's wearing sweatpants, which is the biggest travesty of the whole piece. What did we make of this photo? I can't with her. Like, I just can't. It's not a woman thing. It's just, I don't care for her.
And I feel conflicted. Like, I want to like her. Like, I like her.
I get it.
But, yeah. But then she does these interesting things that it's sort of like, who is it benefiting necessarily?
Mm-hmm. Oh, just sit down.
Yeah. And you're right with the shock value thing. I mean, I think the most recent thing that got me was her whole elective hysterectomy story, which from a health perspective is like the headlines that she was making aren't medically accurate, which is a whole separate conversation. But, you know, so anyway, it is a lot of like shock value stuff. And I mean, that's her style. That's what she does. But yeah, I don't know. I'm conflicted.
Lena. Well, anyway, I'm going to choose the last topic here. This is the last piece of discussion, and it is a throwback topic. Paris Hilton, quote, I started reality TV, close quote.
I mean,
how dare? Can I just say, how dare?
I love this. This is from March 26, 2015.
Wow.
This predates this podcast. This podcast began in August of 2015. So
we're gonna have to pull the logs, the annals of history here, because I'm pretty certain that that is not true, Paris.
Agreed. Not true at all.
And I'm pretty sure that our beloved Ozzy Osbourne is the one that created reality TV.
Or even the real world.
I was back on TV.
Yeah. But you're right. But Ozzy, he was the one to bring the family values, if you will, together.
That's in terms of modern reality TV that we know, it was MTV, it was Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne.
Yep.
That's what it was.
You're correct.
I'm old enough to remember.
In 2015, she told In Touch, I think Nicole and I definitely started the whole reality TV thing.
She's always been in her own world.
So that's according to Paris. Yes.
She may have lumped herself onto that, but she was not the pioneer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also later in this In Touch article, she explained that she's nothing but happy for Kim Kardashian.
Sure.
I love a good throwback for Paris, and those are some things that stood out to me. Leave a review for this podcast, please. And while you're in the podcast listening mood, check out the Reality Rundown.
Yes, please do. It's your BTS hookup on all things reality, and we have a lot of producers on as guests, so that's kind of our angle where we get to know what happens from an insider's point of view on our favorite Bravo shows, as well as talent, you know. So we've had Leanne on a couple times, and so we just, you know, we're keeping on. And so we'll be hitting season 2 this summer, so it's just a lot of fun.
Good. And Fern, what would you like to promote?
This is Fern Rone. You can find me on AfterBuzz covering the Royals on E! I love that show.
Nice.
And I just finished Divorce on HBO, so you can check those out. You can binge watch and then listen to our great after show. And find me on all social media at Fern Rone, R-O-N-A-Y, and my website, fernrone.com.
Perfect.
Yes, and you can usually find me over at AfterBuzz. I've been on a bit of a hiatus, but I have shows coming up starting in March, so you can catch me there. Also, keep up with me on social media, of course, at Blake V Media, and follow along on the blog at BlakeV.com. Yeah.
What else are you working on Instagram? I see you on set doing things, talking about pop culture.
Yeah.
What are you
doing? Exciting.
I feel like I have so many little small projects going on that it's like hard to like say everything, but the most recent thing that I have going on is you can check me out on Sundance. now.com. I hosted an after show for an original series called This Close. So if you head to sundancenow.com, check out Now the Discussion, This Close, and catch yours truly, a 6-episode exclusive on this original programming. And it's a very rad, groundbreaking show. Very cool after show to talk about it. That's like the most exciting thing right now. And very similar to AfterBuzz format. So if you like that kind of roundtable after show kind of talk situation, you'll love this. So check that out.
Perfect.
And, you know, just travel in the world.
Yes. Well,
love
thank
your
you. Guys. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thanks, Grant.
This is a great panel. And we'll be back with more rants to come. And keep checking us out and tell your friends about Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. We'll be back.
This has been Grant's Rants. Support the Rants on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at It's Grant's Rants. Cover art created by Howie Rone. Voiceover by Aw Yeah. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.